MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. I'm chatting with Jason Swartz, portfolio manager at Old Mutual Investment Group. Jason, appreciate the time. The Thucydides trap, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. I don't know how many of us had heard of it until Xi Jinping made reference recently at the US-China summit. I suppose two questions to start. What is the trap and why did Xi Jinping bring it up at the summit?
Yeah, it was also kind of a new term to me, but it's an old term because, you know, it's this trap where it talks about a new paradigm of major powers that are fighting for supremacy. And it goes back to, I think, the kind of Greek days where you had kind of Athens and Sparta that were fighting because Athens was becoming, was kind of an emerging power and Sparta was the superpower. And I mean, I think the reason he mentioned it is because, you know, there was a very important summit where he wanted to just frame where China's position was, and that he wanted the US and China to see themselves as almost equal powers, and that they could, I think his words were, they could transcend the Thucydides trap and kind of work together to become powers together. So I think that's super important, but it was quite a nice kind of analogy that you used. That was beautiful, actually.
It was. And I like the point that you make around transcend, because I think a lot of folks were like, ooh, you know, history tells us that this has invariably led to war and this could, you know, is that what the threat was? I didn't think it was. Although, of course, Taiwan kind of then comes into the picture. And I don't know. I mean, that maybe that doesn't mean war, maybe it doesn't, but it certainly brings a little bit of sort of edginess to the whole process.
Yeah, I think Taiwan was the one area that China kind of were very strong. They were the kind of very strong words around it, in that he said that the relationship would be in great jeopardy if they kind of mishandled Taiwan. And sure, I think it's super unlikely that anything happens there, because, you know, it would be such a disruption, because, you know, obviously we've got TSMC, you've got 90% of the world's semiconductors that are produced there. And if anything happens, it impacts AI, it impacts cars, it impacts telcos, it impacts defense. It causes a supply crisis. So it's unlikely to happen. But I do think that the US understands China's position on Taiwan. In fact, there was an arms deal that was meant to go ahead that the US actually paused because of those words, I suspect. So, you know, I think the US also wants to use it as a bit of a negotiating chip. But, you know, Taiwan is critical in terms of how this relationship pans out.
I get your point. And maybe from Xi Jinping, this was more around a case of, I don't know, almost sort of, I was going to say resetting, but I'm not sure, because Xi Jinping and, of course, Trump had their first term as well, sort of setting the stage for how the two of them respond. Taiwan's one of the processes, but of course there's chips, there's AI, there's rare earth minerals, there's all the other bits that they need to negotiate as well.
Yeah, there is. And I think what was important is that Xi Jinping framed the leverage that they have, not only because of, I suppose, being indispensable from a diplomatic perspective to Iran. I mean, you can see how fragile and how unenforceable this current deal is. But I think the rare earth point you made is important, because China's rare earth export control regime, I mean, I think this week alone, they blocked US their exports to two US rare earth companies. So already you can see how much of kind of power they've got just because of rare earths. And this is something that the US and Washington desperately needs, and China kind of has the stranglehold on it, and it's probably the biggest lever that they have.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the possibility of conflict, and it is probably a very, very low probability, but it's one of those that if it were to happen, the impact is going to be significant. Do you position some of the portfolio for such an eventuality? I mean, gold springs to mind, maybe hard assets, or is it something which it's too remote?
Yeah, it is pretty remote, but I think you do need to think about it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if there is some sort of confrontation, I think most asset classes are going to struggle. I mean, you mentioned real assets like gold. You know, I would struggle to think about a scenario where treasuries do well, potentially the dollar. I mean, I think we're going through an environment where a lot of your traditional safe haven assets aren't really showing up as, you know, providing that protection anymore. So it's difficult to think about where to hide outside of cash or hard currency. But I think, you know, through the cycle, you want to have commodity exposure, you want to have gold exposure. And that's how we kind of also just thinking about it. But it's not something you can necessarily plan for. I think you just want to build a portfolio that's resilient enough that if there is a tail risk, that it has some protection in an adverse scenario like this.
I like that. A portfolio needs to be resilient regardless. And I like your confrontation. It might not be conflict. It could just be some confrontation that we see. That's why you want that resilient part of the portfolio. Jason Swartz, Portfolio Manager, Old Mutual Investment Group. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.